Ale by to dało. Amen. I just want to bless the name of the Lord. I want to bless the name of the Lord because, just like the pastor said, this is one congress you will never forget in a hurry. I know you are already worshiping the Lord, but we can never worship Him enough. So if you don't mind, shall we just go before the Almighty God and bless the one who is holy. There is none holy as the Lord, as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Holy as you. It is because of your holiness, Lord God Almighty, that we are saved. It's because of your holiness that we can rely on your promises. Because a holy God will never lie. It's because you are holy that we know that our tomorrow will be all right. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. This weekend, Father, bless your children. Do marvelous things in our lives. And all those who are still on the way, hasten their footsteps. And Lord God Almighty, let this weekend be one that we will never forget. Thank you forever, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Shake hands with one or two people and say, welcome. God bless you. And then you may be seated. I said you should shake hands with someone. You are shaking hands with the keyboard. Glory be to God. It's always a joy to be with you, and it's always a joy to be part of what God is going to do in the future. Whether the devil believes it or not, the future of this nation is in your hands. And even greater than that, I was just telling the state pastors, they won't want to tell you that I told them, so I might as well tell you now. The future of this church is in your hands. So if any state pastor is wise, he will love you. If he doesn't love you, a time is coming when you will tell him, you thought we were small. You didn't know we were not going to die small. There's no doubt about it. The undergraduates of today are the leaders of tomorrow. The devil knows it. That's why he's trying to destroy the universities with cults. He knows what he's doing. But thank God we know it too. And that's why we're going to drive the devil out of every university. So it's a joy to see you come together. I will also appeal to you, of course, that you don't waste your youth. Because whether you know it or not, young as you may be, you are not getting younger. Every day that is passing can never be recalled. So now that you are young, you better do the best you can for God. There are things I can do 20 years ago that I can't do now. I won't even try. 20 years ago, I could hold one bag of cement on the left hand, one bag of cement on the right hand, and move with it because I would call it balancing the axe. Now, I won't even try to balance that kind of axe anymore. Even though I may still feel the strength in my body, but I know that 59 is different from 39. There's no doubt about it, and there's no way you can do anything about it. There are some people, when they have gray hair on their head, they go and dye it. I say, keep on dying. The calendar is turning. My own is not dyed, praise God. But I want you too to take note of that fact. I met a man once, a man of God, I think was 80-something years old. And we were at a conference, a world conference on revival or something. And he was crying. He was crying because he wished he were younger. Because he said, I can see what God is about to do. But it looks as if I won't be around to see much of it. At that time, I looked at him. I wondered why he was crying. Because at that time, I was 30-something. He said, old man, go away, Jerry. Let's do the rest. But you, I am myself now getting old. I'm 59. Whether I like it or not, 59, like I said, is not 39. And so don't deceive yourself. You might be 22 today. 22 is not the same thing as 20. You are growing old. So I want you to take this particular Congress extremely seriously. Forgive my English. I know the graduates of English will say you shouldn't put the two lele together. It doesn't matter. In mathematics, we do it. You see, I've been asked to talk to you on a very, very crucial topic, a topic that is very, very close to my heart, the theme of this Congress, and that is holiness unto the Lord. See, because the issue of holiness is better settled now that you are young. Because if you don't settle it now, you may be able to settle it later. But by the time you are settling it later, you already have scars. And I've always said it, the wound may heal, the scars will remain. The unfortunate thing is that there are even some scars that will there are some wounds that will never even heal. If we don't settle the issue of holiness now, particularly with the rate at which AIDS is spreading throughout the world, well, one will still make it to heaven, but AIDS might send you there quicker. So we need to settle the issue of holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. What is holiness? I've said it before, holiness is nothing other than obedience. Period. Don't listen to all the theological talks about this and that and about this and this concerning holiness. Simply means obedience. Just simple obedience. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. So when we talk about holiness, we can look at it from the perspective of God and then the perspective of man. The holiness in the part of God simply means God doesn't change. It means once he has spoken, he's settled. He will keep his promise. That's the holiness of God. And if God were to change for 1 minute, there'd be no world left. Everything will go out of course. But God won't change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. But for you, as a human being, that's the aspect of you need. As I said, forget the theology. Holiness simply means obedience. I'm defining my terms. He said, holiness unto the Lord. What do you mean by the Lord? The Lord simply means the one who must be obeyed. Luke chapter 6 verse 46. Luke 6 verse 46. Jesus Christ said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I command you? That gives us the definition of the Lord there straight away. The Lord is one whose commandments we must obey. So when we talk about holiness unto the Lord, therefore, we are talking about obeying the one who must be obeyed. Very simple. So why must we be holy? Well, principally, you may say three reasons. Reason number one, because all the commandments of God are for our own good. Not a single one of all the commandments of God is for himself. You say, no. Didn't he say, have no other gods beside me? Oh yes, he said so. But it's for your own good. Why? Because there are no other gods. So if you decide to have any other gods beside them, then you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy. These gods, according to the scriptures, they have mouth they can't speak. They have eyes they can't see. Some of them are the instrument of your own hand. He's saying, don't be stupid. Why are you bowing down to something you created? You get a piece of wood, you fashion it out, part of the wood you use to cook, part of the wood you use to warm yourself, and then you bow down to the remainder. Are you crazy? That's what God is saying. Oh no, sir, you haven't seen some of the idols in our villages. They can do some things. Oh, maybe there are some demons associated with them. And if you have an idol that is a demon for your God, then you have a liar for your God. Demons don't tell the truth. The devil is a liar. You know that one. And he's a father of lies. So when God says, have no other gods beside me, he says, don't waste your energy. Don't insult your own intelligence. There's no other God but the living God. Do I hear amen to that?
Amen.
And when he says, honor your parents, honor your father and your mother, he added, he said that your days might be long. Is that not so? Who is going to gain if you honor your parents? He said, you. He said, if you honor your parents, you will live long so that you too will become a parent. You don't honor your parents, he said, you die young. So who is going to? Because we don't have the time to go into all these details, but some of you know about curses and blessings. You know that if your parents curse you, unless your spiritual parents remove the curse, you are done for. And I've always said it openly that I am what I am today by the grace of God and by the blessings of my parents. Because my mother used to bless me anytime I did something that pleased her, and thank God by His grace I was able to please her plenty. She would look at me and pray a prayer that took me a long time to understand. She would say, you will call one person, 200 will answer. And I used to wonder, what would be wrong with the people? I mean, if I call Joe and 200 people are answering, who are not Joe. But now I know, if I say pastor, I know how many people will turn. When your parents bless you, you are blessed. If they curse you, God have mercy. So he said, honor your parents so that you will live long, so that you too become parents. When he said, hallow the Sabbath to keep it holy, so that you can rest. He doesn't need rest. Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4, he said, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. He doesn't need sleep. He doesn't need to rest. He's as strong as ever. But he deliberately rested on the Sabbath day so that you will be allowed to rest. But for God, who made this commandment, there will be no Sunday. And there will be some employers who will work all the employees 7 times a day, all year round. But God said, rest for one day. And it became a law, a universal law. Thank God for His mercy. Now, when He said, don't kill, when He said, thou shalt not kill, can you kill God? He's not around to be killed. At least you have to see the fellow you are going to kill before you kill him. And in any case, the Bible tells us in Psalm 90 verse 2, Psalm 90 verse 2, it says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He can die. For Jesus Christ to die, he had to become man. Otherwise, he would not have been able to die. So when the one who can never die say, don't kill, who is he protecting? You. But for the law of God that said, thou shalt not kill, many of us will be dead. There are people who hated us who would have just broken our head. But because God said, thou shalt not kill, and it became a law that the people who kill shall be killed, that's why many of us are alive. I know members of your family who will say, you mean you are going to the university? When I don't have the money to go, is this not the son of so-and-so, and we used to drink our wine together? Going to the university, when it comes, now you'll be riding the car? I mean, many of you know how. But for the protection of God, they would have poisoned you by now. Thank God that he said, thou shalt not kill. And so on and so forth. You can go on and consider all the other, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. When he said, for example, that thou shalt not commit adultery. Has he a wife that he wants to protect from you? No. Should I commit adultery, fornicate? It is, if you are married, it's your house that will be in disorder. When he said, don't commit adultery, don't fornicate, he's saying, look, don't waste your resources on somebody who is outside. And no, many of you are not married, so you won't understand this. But you will one day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Because we are going to increase and multiply. But ask the men who are married, who are not faithful to their wives. They will tell you the kind of life they live. It's like one pastor said, I think during the last Holy Ghost service. He said it takes a fool to commit adultery. Why? Because when you are taking your girlfriend into one place, you'll be looking to the right, looking to the left, looking to the back, and looking to the front, hoping that nobody will see you, forgetting to look up. And there's somebody up there who sees everything. You can't lock him out because he's the door himself. And they live a life that will not give them peace of mind. I have peace of mind because my wife knows every detail about my movement. And it has been very helpful to me when the devil tried to attack me. There was a time when a woman came and said, "It's my husband." My wife said, "You are lying. This one belongs to me." Glory be to God. But if your ways are shady, if a woman comes boldly and he says it's my husband, your wife will begin to say, "Well, we never can tell." And then if you go and commit adultery and you fornicate and you catch a venereal disease, who is going to suffer the pain? God? No. So when he said don't commit adultery, it's for your own good. When he said don't steal, whose property is he protecting? Oh, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24 verse 1. How much of his goods can you steal? Let us assume that God wants to protect all he has from you. And you sneak behind him and then you begin to steal. How much money can you steal? And ask those people who have been stealing Nigeria's money. Ask them, what do they benefit from it? Oh, they steal millions of dollars. You read some of the amount they have stolen and it boggles your mind. But ask them, what enjoyment do they get from it? Money gets to a stage when it is of no longer any use to the owner. Because it doesn't matter how much money you have, you can't eat more than one meal at a time. If you wear more than one dress at a time, they will take you to Arrow. Am I lying? You can have 100 cars, you can only ride in one at a time. Try and put one leg in one car and one leg in another, and let us see if it will. And believe me honestly, when the road is smooth, there is no difference between Volkswagen and Mercedes. Am I lying? So why are you wasting your time stealing? So God is saying, take it easy. Take it easy. When he said, don't covet, it's the same thing. Be satisfied. Just be satisfied with what you have. You know, when we were younger, glory be to God. I thank God for my parents. They were very poor. I've said it again and again. I don't mind saying it. I came from one of the poorest families you can ever dream about. If your family is poorer than my own, then we need to make an inquiry. I mean, because most of my youth, we were sleeping under the thatch roof. You know, it was leaves that covered the something. So when it is raining and you people are enjoying the rain, that's when we begin to dodge, because the rain will be dropping on us. But they taught us that we must be satisfied with what we have. In those days, when they cook the okra soup, for lack of meat, they would take whole okra, cut off the head, cut off the tail, and drop it in. That's our meat. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Very few, eh? Don't worry, you make it in life. And you'll be struggling. Your meat is bigger than it is okra. Cooked inside okra. But you will never see us look at somebody who is eating chicken twice. We had that pride in us that, yes, you are rich, but you are not feeding me. not feeding me. That's contentment. And that's what God is saying here. Don't be covetous. Because you will discover that the more you covet what the other fellow has, the more you'll be punishing yourself. What he has is not going to become yours anyway. But when you are content with what you have, then you have something they call personal pride. You can stand up and say, oh yes, I know you are rich. I know you kick chickens and so on and so, but did I come to beg? Are you the one feeding me? And that reduced the rich man to nothing. Say, okay, mind your business. God is taking care of me. And he will take care of you. Yeah. And then when he said, don't be a false witness, is he protecting himself? No. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18 verse 25, Genesis 18 verse 25, he said, he's the judge of the whole universe. The judge of the whole world is the chief justice of the universe. So, he has no case to answer. If you accuse God, who is going to be your lawyer? Who is the judge that will judge him? So, you can gather all the false witnesses you like. It's not going to bother him. He's trying to protect our interests. So, all the commandments of God are for our own good. If we obey them, it will be well with us. That's one reason why we should be holy. The second reason is that holiness is the basic requirement for all the blessings in the world. And I mean all the blessings in the world. You want to be healthy? Be holy. Exodus 15 verse 26. He said, it shall come to pass, Exodus 15:26, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all that I command you this day, that I will bring none of the diseases that are brought upon the Egyptians upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. God said, be holy and I'll be your private physician. That's what he said. He's been my private doctor now for almost 30 years. And I mean, you can't find a healthier man than myself. Are you saying that you have not been sick in almost 30 years? Oh, once in a while I've overdone it. I've overworked. When I was tired, I still kept pushing on. And I got knocked down. But it never lasted a day. Never lasted a day. At the very, very worst, if by tonight it looks as if I'm going to die, by tomorrow morning I will be preaching at the Holy Ghost service. And of course I've learned my lesson now. I know when to stop. You know, once in a while you need to be reminded that you are no longer as young as you used to be. But he's been my doctor. That's why I don't know when doctors are on strike and when they are not on strike. Because my doctor is never on strike. And I'm telling you the truth. If you will allow him to be your doctor, he will not only heal you, he will make you even healthier than you were before. I don't want to say some things that will embarrass some people, but I know people who are younger than I who cannot do half of what I'm doing. And the problem is because they have not obeyed God completely. Just go ahead and obey him and he will renew your youth like the eagles. That's his promise. What about promotion? Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. He said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the things that I've commanded you this day, then he said, the Lord shall make you higher than every other nation. That's promotion now. In fact, he went on to say in verse 13, he said, you shall be head and you will never be tail. He said, you'll be above only, you will never be beneath. Tell your neighbor, I am going to be head. I know you are not sure, that's why you can't say it. And I will never be tail. All he calls is
Be holy.
Simple. What about blessings? And I mean all kinds of blessings. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2. He said, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the things that I have commanded you this day, that is, if you will be obedient, which is another word of saying, if you will be holy, he said, then these blessings shall follow you and overtake you. You will be running away from blessing. Blessing will be pursuing. And it will be overtaking. In other words, you will be saying to God, these blessings are too many, and he will say, I've not started. I know what I'm talking about. I am a living example. I know what I'm talking about. I've shared this with some people before. Some of you might be new, so I share it with you. Several years ago, somebody came and donated a Mercedes-Benz to us in the church. It was the first Mercedes-Benz donated. And the woman was a widow, just came, dropped the key and said the car outside is for the church. I got there, I found it's a Mercedes-Benz car. I called the elders. I said, well, you take the key, because you are closer to heaven. So you enjoy a little before you go. And they said, no, you might be young, but you are our leader. Me, at that time, we did not believe in Mercedes. What will I be doing inside the Mercedes? So we packed the thing. And after some time, one night, God woke me up and said, son, why are you denying my daughter her blessings? And I said, which of your daughter? I don't want to deny anybody. He said, the daughter who gave me a car. You are not using it. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't know that will rob her of her blessing. So I rode in it for 3 days. And those 3 days, everybody that greeted me, I thought they were saying, oh, it's backsliding. I felt so uncomfortable. I am telling you the truth. So after 3 days, I packed it again. God, I have used the car. Bless your daughter. And the battery, I said, and God spoke to me again and said, son, you better begin to use it because another one is coming. And when the other one came, it was at 2 a.m. in the night. The man could not sleep. And whoever is holding your blessing won't be able to sleep. And the man brought the car, you know, the one they call limousine. 3 seats. Mercedes. I came out at that night, because he woke me up, came out, saw this thing. I blessed him, he left, and I said to God, you know, I can never ride this one. And I mean, I said, so you better bless him or straight away, because I'm not going to ride this one. There's no way. So I asked God, may I sell it? Because I won't ride it. I mean, you know, Lord. So he said, it's yours. Now you can do what you like with it. So I sold it. And I used the money to buy motorcycles for my pastors. I didn't know I was asking for trouble. It wasn't long after that, in one day, one man came and gave me 3 Mercedes-Benz cars. 3. So I said, God, now what is the meaning of this? Lord, this is too much. And God said to me, son, you want me to stop the blessing? Stop being holy. I said, if that is the case, holiness will continue. So let the blessing come. So now I'm ready for anything. And only God knows how many cars have come since then. And all kinds. So when you see me riding in any car, don't think I bought it. Where will I get the money? But they keep coming. And he said, you will be running away from blessing. Blessing will pursue you and overtake you. If you are holy. Holiness is the basic necessity, the basic ingredient for victory. The same Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 7. Provided you obey, provided you live holy, he said, the enemies that come against you, he said, God will cause the enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before you. He didn't say you will smite them. He said they will be smitten. You won't even have to fight. God said, I will knock them down. He said, they will come against you one way, they will flee. How many ways? Seven. That's why you find that wherever I go, I don't have bodyguards. Once in a while, they get some boys to run around with me. I think they just enjoy being seen around the jail. Because I made it clear to them again and again, you are not the one protecting me. You can't protect yourself if danger comes. Any fellow who says he's protecting me has no gun in his pocket. Suppose somebody comes with a machine gun, even if he has a revolver, will he wait? But I have people who are protecting me because the word of God says, all I have to do is live holy. Let any enemy come. He will rise, come against me one way, he will flee seven ways. Because all of a sudden, God will open his eyes. And he will see the two angels standing behind me. One called goodness, the other called mercy. And nobody is mad enough to wait when he sees an angel. I know many of you have never seen that. Can guarantee you the first time you see an angel, you will almost piss on your something. Because they are not small things. If you have seen somebody drawing the picture of an angel like a little baby with wings, it's drawing demons, not angels. That's why the first thing an angel will say to you is, fear not. They will frighten you. And I'm telling you, they are big. Just one of them, according to the word of God, can kill 185,000 soldiers in one day. Now, you don't want to mess with that kind of person. Now, so when you see a man having two of them standing there to protect him, you will say, who asked me to attack this man to start with? Glory be to God forever. You want abundance? All you need to do is be holy. Deuteronomy 28 verse 12. Deuteronomy 28 verse 12 says, God will make you plenteous in goods. See, our God is not miserly. His name is Jehovah El Shaddai. The God who is more than enough. He said he will make you plenteous in goods. That is, you will have so much that you won't even have room to contain. If you are holy. And of course, if you want power. And I mean real power now. I'm not talking of political power. I'm sure you know the problem with political power. The problem with political power is that you are there today, you are not there tomorrow. So you are excellency today, you are ex-excellency tomorrow. And when you are excellency, of course, anything you say you want, people will bring. But the moment you see to be excellency, they turn their back. I was just remembering the other day, was somebody who was the governor in one of the states. At that time, the mother-in-law died. They used trailers to bring cows. Then 2 weeks after he ceased to be governor, his own mother died. Nobody brought a goat. But when we talk about the power that comes from God, the power that opens blind eyes, that will make the lame to walk, that will make the dumb to speak, that will make the barren fruitful. If you want that kind of power, you need holiness. Hebrews 1 verse 9. I'm sure by now some of you know the passage of it. Hebrews 1, I said, because you love righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You want anointing? Be holy. And of course, if you want to make it to heaven, The number one condition is holy. Hebrews 12 verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. And I'm going to see God. And I know you want to see Him also. But then, this passage says, or the theme, the topic says, holiness unto the Lord. So we can't omit the word unto there. Unto there is a link between holiness and the Lord. He's saying, we want you to be holy, not unto the pastor, holy not unto the general overseer, holy not unto the church, but holy unto the Lord. Why? Why must I be holy unto the Lord? Why are they linking me unto the Lord? Because there's only one way you can have God as your partner. That's if you are holy. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, birds of the same feather flock together. And God himself said it in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1 verses 15 and 16, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. But why do I need God as a partner? That's the crux of the matter. And I tell you the answer is simple, so that you will not live a useless life. That's why. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. How many things? Through Christ we strengthen. As long as I am hooked up to the Lord, I can do anything. I can reach my goal. I can achieve anything. And I've been telling my children again and again, dream big. Your God is not a small God. Dream big. Make your dream big. Particularly when you are young, dream big. One of my children said to me, Daddy, the way you are going, there will be nothing left for us to achieve. I said, you are joking. You are going to be greater than I. Every one of my children will be greater than I. That's my prayer. And God knows it. Because that's the only way that after I've gone, if the Lord tarries, that my name will continue. If your son is smaller than you, then the reduction begins. My children will be higher. And is that the way you are talking? Before you go, you want to take over the whole world. I didn't say I will take over the whole world. I said by the time I die, if the Lord tarries, all I want is that in every house in the world, there be a member of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. That's all. Just one member. By the time you do that, what is there left for us to do? There's still plenty for you to do. What about the other members in the family? Glory be to God. What about generations unborn? Dream big. I told you there was a time I didn't want to ride in a Mercedes-Benz car. I have my plans. If I tell you some of my plans, some of you will not believe. Just as they didn't believe me when I told those people who were with me in 1978 that all the major churches that are going ahead are just preparing the ground for the Redeemed Christian Church of God. They didn't believe me because we were small then. Now I want to tell you something big to help you dream big. So that you will know the reason why you must just settle the issue of holiness. And just settle it because you don't want to die small. Do you want to die small?
No!
You know, when they began to send rockets to the moon, At the very time they began to send rockets to the moon, and they were going and coming back, I told some people, I said, these people are preparing the grounds for me. And they looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, I can't explain. What are you talking about? I said, I can't explain. Years later, when they began the shuttle rocket, the one that will go and come back, and because at the first, when it goes and it comes back, it becomes useless. Now, when it goes, it comes back and lands like a plane, and then they can reuse it. So at that stage, now I believe I could share with just a little with some people. Of course, they didn't believe me. I said, very soon, we'll be holding our pastor's conference on the moon. And I know it's still difficult for you to swallow. Don't worry. Why? Why do you want to go and hold a pastor's conference on the moon? Because there are the things we want to discuss that we don't want anybody to hear. Now, when we say we are having pastor's conference, no matter how hard I try, there are spies in our midst. When I say, workers of the redeemed alone should wait, no matter how hard I try, there will be about 100 from other denominations. They want to know what's going on in redeemed. And some of them are not our friends. But the time is coming now when we are planning our strategies to take over the world, and we don't want anybody to hear. We are planning our strategies to take over the world, and we don't want anybody to hear. I'm sure some of you will say, what's wrong with this old man? We thought you say you are getting old, and we thought you will soon be leaving the stage. You are joking. I'm not going yet. Glory be to God forevermore. But believe me honestly, this may sound like a joke to you. It may sound like sweet talk to you. Ask people like Pastor Deyemi, ask people like Pastor Desola, they will tell you that some of the things that you are seeing today, I told them in 78. I told them that a time is coming when we call the pastor's meeting and there will be thousands of them. I told them that, I went to Kenneth Hagin meeting and I saw about 17,000 people gathered together. At that time, the old redeem was less than 1,000. That a day is coming when our pastors will be more than all those people. Amen. But they are seeing it now. And you are not going to die when you see all this thing happening. And why am I telling you this? Because you are the people who will be going with me to that moon. Provided you live holy. Provided you have not allowed AIDS to kill you before then. Provided you have not done things that will cause God to say, this one is not fit to be part of my team. Shall we stand? Holiness unto the Lord. I want you to cry to the Almighty God and say, Father, I am determined to live holy. I just need your help. Will you cry unto the Lord now? Cry unto the Lord. Lord, I want to live holy for the rest of my life. I want to live a life of holiness, a life of purity, a life that will bring glory to your name. I want you as my partner. Lord, help me.
Thank you.